Welcome back. This is Identity Theft Awareness Week, and the folks at MassPerg are here to help us stay safe and avoid scams and phishing and smishing and everything else that's trying to steal your money. So Gene Foy is here from the MassPerg Consumer Action Center in Weymouth to help us. Gene, great to see you. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Nice to see you, too,
again.
Welcome back
to the show. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's always good to get a little refresh of what MassPerg used to be. Massachusetts Public Interest Research Group. Is that still
right.
the case?
That's still the case. Okay. Yep. I'm the director of MassPerg Consumer Action Center, and we're a local consumer program that is, we work in cooperation with and we're funded by the Attorney General's Office. They have a program where there's 20 programs around the state that try to help consumers at the local level with their consumer problems.
Okay.
So that's what my office does. We've been doing it since 1989.
Wow.
We have helped over 23,000 consumers.
Wow.
We've got back $6.6 million over the years in restitution or goods and services. So we're out there in the community and we help Quincy residents and we help 19 other towns on the South Shore of Boston.
Okay. And you do it for free.
It's a free service
yeah.
provided by the Attorney General's Office. If a consumer files a complaint with the Attorney General's Office and the consumer lives in our area, it would probably be directed to us if it wasn't kept in-house. Consumers can call us on the phone if they have a problem, if they've dealt with us before, or if they're listening to me today and they say, hey, I want to talk to MassPerg about a problem I'm having.
Yeah.
We're there to speak with people.
Yeah. So what's kind of the difference between, say, the Attorney General's Office, MassPerg, and the Better Business Bureau? So I think sometimes the lines get blurred.
So the Attorney General's Office has a consumer division where they handle complaints,
okay.
and
okay.
we're part of that division.
Okay.
So the Attorney General's Office and the local consumer programs work cooperatively together to handle complaints. The Attorney General's Office tracks complaints
mm-hmm.
for violations of the Consumer Protection Regulation. They build cases where they can pursue a business to stop them from engaging in deceptive business practices.
Okay.
The Better Business Bureau also handles complaints. They track complaints, and I think it's more, I don't want to speak for them,
mm-hmm.
but it's a easy access point for people to go to see if there's complaints against a business before they do business with them.
Right.
That information is readily available online. They also handle complaints. They handle complaints through a mail process where they send it out to the business to respond. We also use a mail process,
but we
pick up the phone and we talk to the consumer. We pick up the phone,
yep.
we talk to the business.
Okay.
So that's probably the difference. Same service, but you know, sometimes you can get an answer from a business by picking up the phone versus sending a letter.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. A bit of a mediator, right?
Yeah.
To try and resolve an issue.
Yes.
Before it gets to a higher level, maybe there's a criminal action at that point.
That's what we're there for,
yeah.
so that people don't have to use the court system to resolve their dispute. So we're a benefit to both the consumer and the business, you know, if we can help get it resolved and out of the courts.
Certainly, yeah. As I mentioned, this is Identity Theft Awareness Week.
Yes.
And we've all been a target either of an email or a text or a phone call trying to scam us out of money, right?
We have.
Yeah.
And what we handle in my office is mostly actual complaints against legitimate businesses. But we do hear about the scams that are out there. It's difficult to try to mediate a complaint when it's a criminal on the other end. So oftentimes we act more like a listening ear and a resource on where consumers can go. We are seeing a lot more scams. I think that with artificial intelligence, they're getting much better at what they do. And so, you know, if you think you've been scammed or you think you might be being scammed and you want to call someone and talk to them to see if it sounds right, you can call our office. I think you have the phone number you're going to put
Absolutely.
Up there.
Absolutely, it's right there now.
We can talk you through it. We can point out red flags that
okay.
we see and what's happening with you.
Yeah. What are you seeing right now, Gene, in terms of the prevalent scams?
So we are seeing a lot of identity imposter scams.
Imposter.
Where people are getting an email or a text from what appears to be a legitimate business. It might be your bank. It might be a utility company. It might be a government agency. And they're trying to scare you into making a payment. I think a lot of people probably saw or maybe even got a text about the toll money. Tons of people have an Easy Pass, and that was a smishing scam where they sent it out hoping that people would be like, oh no, I didn't pay my toll, and they just pay it. I can't imagine how much money they got from people who just simply paid it by clicking the link. They use fear. They tell you you need to pay it or the price is going to increase. So, you know, that's one that's been in the news. I had a gentleman come in my office the other day who got an email saying that his identity had been stolen. It was being used for drug trafficking and money laundering, and that the government wanted to help him secure his assets so that they weren't stolen. They encouraged him to take his money out of the bank, $12,000, convert it into Bitcoin, and send it to the Department of Treasury, which course was not the Department of Treasury, to be put in a secure wallet where it would then be returned to him once the matter was resolved with the identity theft. He lost that money.
He did.
He'll probably never get that money back. You know, one thing is that Bitcoin is the new thing that criminals like because it's very hard to trace, it's very hard to reverse. In the same week, I got a complaint from someone who was scammed in a similar way, but they asked for gift cards from a big name retailer. The person got $15,000 worth of gift cards, sent pictures of the numbers to the scammer, mentioned to her dad what was happening, and he said, I think you've been scammed. She called the big retailer, and they were able to stop half of those gift cards. They deactivated it, so she's out $8,000. You know, different forms of currency can be brought back. And so one of the red flags we tell people is if they're asking for payment by cryptocurrency or by a gift card, red flag, hang up the phone, walk away, delete the message. You know, if anyone's pushing you to do something right away, stop, take a breath, verify it, because they're trying to get you to make it decisions without thinking about it. The other thing that we've seen in both those instances is they've been told that it's they can't tell anyone, that it needs to be kept a secret because it's a pending investigation, and you know, if you don't keep it secret and you tell the bank why you're withdrawing this money, they won't be able to help you anymore. So they're using fear tactics. And so those are the three things: cryptocurrency, fear, privacy. They should all be big red flags to step back and, and rethink it.
You really have to verify, right? So
you do.
Don't hesitate to check before you do anything.
So you get that text and it says click this link. Don't click the link. Go to that company's website that you've verified is correct, or look on an invoice or a bill that you have and call that number. In probably 99.9% of those instances, you're going to find that it's not a legitimate request for money or information.
So are you finding that victims are kind of broad spectrum, Gene, old, young, all economic backgrounds?
They really are. The gentleman with the cryptocurrency, he was an older man. The woman with the gift cards was a younger woman. And with the cryptocurrency one, a lot of times why they use that is because people don't understand how it works. That person had the scammer on the phone with him, and he walked him step by step how to deposit the money through the machine, how to do everything. You know, why are these people being so helpful to you? Why are they calling you out of the blue about this issue?
That's the key, out of the blue,
Of the blue.
Unsolicited.
You
didn't request information from that bank or from that utility company. They just reached out to you.
So if it's unsolicited, stop, verify before you take the next step.
And it's easy to do. Call on, like you said, the number on your bill or the back of your credit card. That's the legitimate contact information.
And if you have to do a internet search, don't pick the first thing that comes up. Make sure that you're at the right site. A government site is going to be .gov. You know, it's not, it's going to make sense when you see what the website is. It's not going to be there's not going to be any typos in that.
Right.
So you have to be careful. You have to verify, even when you're verifying.
Yeah, just slow down, right?
Slow down.
Just really think about it and be intentional before you take any action.
Yeah.
We can't even trust our caller IDs anymore because they can scam real phone numbers,
They
right?
can spoof real phone numbers.
Spoof, yeah.
And I think we've all gotten calls from ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Like, exactly. Yes. Actually, I wonder from home. You're,
yeah.
I know, right.
Yeah, so yeah, you have to verify everything and take a deep breath. And tell people, call me. I can point out red flags and help you realize why it might be a scam.
Yes.
And remember, it's not always bad things that they're approaching you with. You might have won something or got a grant or a business opportunity. Sometimes it's good things that
job offers, I know.
Job offers.
Right, yeah.
Those scams can come that way. Another scam, and you've probably seen them or got them, is the wrong text. You get a text and it says, Mary, you're due in court tomorrow. And, you know, being the nice person that you are, you're like, oh my gosh, Mary's due in court tomorrow, but I'm not Mary. I'm going to just let them know they have the wrong number.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't be a good Samaritan.
Okay.
It's another form of smishing.
What can they get from you if you do that, if you reply
to
that?
They're going to do is they're going to try to engage you in a conversation.
Okay.
They're going to befriend you. They're going to try to get personal information. They may ask for money. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, this is how those romance scams start.
Oh, sure.
Where I'm home, I'm alone, I have nobody to talk to. Now I have this new friend who, you know, just mistakenly called me, and now we're friends. So beware of good things too.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I guess the perception is that you're going to be able to instantly identify a scam, right? This is going to be somebody, I mean, that you don't recognize, you know, that doesn't
right.
speak well perhaps,
right.
or is uneducated. That's not the case.
It's
right?
not the
no.
case. And I think with AI, it's getting worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had one the other day that I got that I really had to pause and think about because it was about a product that I do get delivered to my home regularly for my pet. And my name was on it. And it said something about a shipping label, but it was going to the wrong place.
Okay.
I really had to pause and look it over and say, well, this isn't right.
Right.
And
yeah.
I deleted it.
Yeah.
So, you know, things that you can do when you get those is report them to the company whose, you know, name's being used to scam, because if it's happening to you, it's happening to others. And the business would want to know, because then they can, like mass.gov did, they can send an email out to all the people who have Easy Pass or who have that credit card or buy that product to beware.
Yep.
Banks, you'll see they send out notices all the time when they hear about a scam, so they do want to know.
Okay.
If you've actually been scammed, you gave them money, you clicked that link, you want to report it to your local police and get a police report in case you have to go forward to try to recover your money. You are going to need to have a police report on file.
Okay.
You want to let other agencies know. The FBI does have a website, IC3.gov, where they track internet scams. The FTC is the best resource out there for scams, information to report. They also have, I always bring my book, but they have this great identity theft recovery plan book.
Okay. It
tells you all the things you need to do if you've been scammed. So those are great agencies to reach out to if you have been scammed.
Okay, because you really could help somebody.
You can
prevent being scammed in the
future.
You
can. Yeah. When we go out in the community, we tell people, don't be ashamed if you've been scammed.
Yeah.
You know, be super proud of yourself if you weren't scammed and
right.
someone tried to scam you. But tell people, because the only way you know what the new scams are is that someone's going out there and they're saying, hey, this is what happened to me.
Yes.
And then now I know, hey, I need to look. And when I get that email that says your package wasn't delivered.
Red flag.
It may not be true.
Yeah.
If I'm expecting a package, then I want to reach out to the company and verify that my package is delayed. But if I'm not expecting a package, I want to just ignore it and delete it.
Yeah.
The other thing is you can report it to the internet, to whoever your internet provider is. you know, put it in the spam folder, the junk folder, that also will report.
Oh, okay. Good point you just made. You go out in the community and speak to groups, right?
I do go out and speak to groups. If anybody is seeing this and they'd like me to come out, definitely. I love to go out and speak to audiences.
Okay. Can folks actually come to MassPIRG also in Weymouth, Jean?
They can. In the senior center. Oh. We have an office. Yep. We usually tell them to call and make an appointment just to make sure we're there, because I'm not always in the office.
Yes,
people are welcome to come in to bring the letter that they got, to bring something if they want me to look at it.
Just
I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm happy to shred it for them, too, when I tell them it's a scam.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that must feel good when you're able to help somebody prevent losing their money, right?
Yes, for sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
you for having
me.
Always great to talk to you. And don't forget, it is Identity Theft Awareness Week this week. And then coming up in March, first week in March, National Consumer Protection Week.
Correct. There'll be lots of stuff out online and going on around to kind of remind people of their rights.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Thanks again, Jean.
Thank you.
You're welcome.